Do you want a beautiful lawn? Enter True Green, the easiest way to get a great lawn. Just water and mow and they'll do the rest. Weed control, fertilization, aeration, and more. True Green is the official lawn care treatment provider of the PGA Tour. And they have a verified best price, which guarantees you the lowest price with no compromise on quality. You do you. Let True Green do your lawn care. Visit TrueGreen.com, TrueGreen.com to get the best lawn at the best price with the best people. Guaranteed.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
Are you struggling to lower your bad LDL cholesterol, even though you may be taking a statin, swapping steaks for salads, and exercising while listening to this podcast? Ask your doctor if Repatha Evolocumab is right for you. With Repatha, you can dramatically reduce bad cholesterol and the risk of another heart attack while enjoying life too, because you're human. And with convenient self-administration, you can take Repatha in the comfort of your own home. Do not take Repatha if you're allergic to it. Repatha can cause serious allergic reactions. Signs include trouble breathing or swallowing, or swelling of the face. Most common side effects include runny nose, sore throat, common cold symptoms, flu or flu-like symptoms, back pain, high blood sugar and redness, pain, or bruising at the injection site. Visit Repatha.com or call 1-844-REPATHA. Talk to your doctor today about Repatha.
Save big money and start your spring project with help from Menards. We offer a huge selection of body plants, veggies, and herbs to plant at home and grow yourself. Right now, all 4.5-inch body plants are on sale through May 5th. Head to the Menards Garden Center to get your garden growing and check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for all the great deals happening now.
Save big money at Menards.
From the alley-oops at Keysaw to the glory days at the Stick, from who's got it better than us to brick by brick, it's always the 49ers way, from off-season to game day. Yeah, we talk back. It's the 49ers cutback.
It's 49ers cutback podcast time. Welcome to the show. And I got Warren Brown with me right here. And of course, you've been on the channel for a while. You know who Warren is. And it's time to talk 49ers football. Warren, how are you feeling?
I'm feeling good, man. I'm feeling a lot better after last week, that stressful game. This week, I'm feeling a lot more confident, but I'm actually happy to be back, though.
Yeah. Yeah. It's been a while since we talked, and it's good that we're back at it. We're talking 49ers football. And the funny thing is, me and Warren were watching the game together.
Right.
So, I mean, we were feeling each other's anxiety. Warren was down on the ground. Warren was up. He was around the corner. He was everywhere you could possibly be during that game, because that game had all the ups and downs, the emotions. And Warren, you know, how did you feel about that game? Because a lot of people have come away with different feelings. Some believe that it's a galvanizing win for the 49ers. Some believe that they were just really frustrated with how they came out. How are you feeling about that game?
I was definitely frustrated about the game. Just watching how the game unfolded, it seemed like Green Bay was just beating us to the punch on everything. Like, we were getting the, I feel like we were getting the right bounces on during the game in each play. Like, it was just a real struggle. Like, we couldn't get no momentum on offense. Felt like we were always in a funk. On defense, it's guys were slipping and falling, and we couldn't get home, and it just felt like all the emotions and frustrations that go into a football game was pretty much on display last week. So I was very frustrated watching the game, but I mean, as the game went on, like, you've seen the team, you know, they were fighting through the emotions. They were fighting. They were riding a roller coaster, you know, and eventually they ended up on top, but it's just getting there to the end. It was just so difficult, man. It's seeing a block field goal. Usually you don't see block field goals in games and stuff like that. It was just, it was very frustrating.
Yeah. I mean, and Jake Moody, I mean, you're a Michigan fan.
Absolutely.
So you've seen Jake Moody make all these big time kicks, and you get to the end of the half and here he comes on. And I still have a lot of faith in Jake Moody, and you know, a lot of people don't, but I do. And I think you do as well. And he gets that field goal blocked. Was that surprising to you that Jake Moody had a field goal blocked?
It was surprising to me. I've been, like you said, I'm a big Michigan fan. I've been watching Michigan football since I was a little kid. I've watched all 4 years of Jake Moody at Michigan, and I've never seen him with a blocked field goal. I've never seen him get a field goal blocked. You know, the guy is, yep, he has a super powerful leg. You know, he usually, no matter where he's at on the field, he's going to get it there. He's going to get it up, and he's going to have extension on it. But it was very weird to see it get blocked. In that moment, like I said, it was just adding to the frustration. It was just, what else could go wrong?
Yeah.
You know, and then when he lined up and he kicked it, I felt like all Niner fans were like clinching, like, man, if he like misses this field goal or something goes wrong, like the anxiety is really going to start to set in. And then when you see it get blocked, it was just like, man, we're going to half like this, you know? But it was definitely odd. It was weird for me because, like I said, being a Michigan fan, watching Moody, as long as I watch Moody, I've never seen him get his field goals blocked.
Yeah, and it was interesting. Christian McCaffrey, during his post-game presser, said the game just felt weird from the beginning. And I think a lot of people were feeling that as well. The interesting thing, George Kittle said that once Brock Purdy ripped into somebody, that is when they kind of clicked and went to where they were supposed to be. Found that interesting. I'm pretty sure it was when Ray McLeod was supposed to run the swirl route.
Right.
And he just went into scramble drill mode when his guy fell down and sat down. But you've got this situation where the 49ers, it felt like every time they got momentum, every single time Green Bay got the momentum back, it was, you know, they 49ers scored a touchdown on the big run by McCaffrey, kick return all the way back down, John Gibson falls, touchdown. It's like every single time it was just like they couldn't quite get over the hump, but they got it done and they win. And it's just an interesting dynamic between, you know, these two teams. It's so interesting. The fact that you always get these 10 times that you get Green Bay versus the 49ers, it's wild. But it was a crazy game, lots of fun. Do you think that there's going to be a positive carryover from this game, or do you think it's going to be more negative as they head into the NFC Championship game against the Lions?
I think it's going to be more positive. I think, honestly, when I look at teams and they go on Super Bowl runs and they're in these playoff runs, they need to go through a game like this. You know, and the Niners, they needed to go through a game like this with Green Bay. And it was the perfect medicine. You know, I mean, we had that bad game against Baltimore where nothing could go right. We had bad turnovers, you know, and I feel like since that game, we've kind of been in a funk. We haven't seen the team that went out there and smashed the Jacksonville Jaguars. Like, that team was just clicking on all cylinders. Now we get to the playoffs, we're playing Green Bay, you know, I'm happy that we went through this game. You know, I'm happy that the team wasn't having success. The team was battling. It was a four quarter game. You know, we wasn't rattling off big runs. You know, like, Purdy wasn't, you know, picking apart the defense, throwing the ball wherever he wanted to, and was going for touchdowns. You know, we had to deal with the adversity of somebody being hurt, deal with the adversity of a blocked field goal. And all the emotions in this game, I feel like, is going to prepare us for what's to come, you know. And this game against Detroit, it's like, what more can you throw at us? You know, we've been through it in four quarters with Green Bay. Like, what can you give us that we haven't already been through? So I think what we learned from Green Bay is that this team is resilient and this team is ready to get the job done.
I like that. And everybody, please like and subscribe to the channel if you haven't already. On that push for 5K, if you're listening on audio platform, 49ers, Cutback, Unbelieve, please give it a 5-star rating. And if you're going to bet this weekend, bet with Bet Online. It's playoff time, and the road to Vegas goes through San Francisco and Baltimore. Bet Online is your number one source for playoff odds, stats, trends, and lines. with everything from point spreads to hundreds of player performance props. Head to BetOnline today and stay updated on the action. BetOnline, where the game starts. And Warren, you got a good point there. They're going to be carrying this thing over. I think that one thing that's interesting about the playoffs compared to the regular season is in the playoffs, it's more like as a one-game season every single time. So momentum is something different. You don't really have a momentum that carries over. Just like if you win a big game in the NFC Championship game, it doesn't mean it carries you over to the Super Bowl because there's a long layoff those 2 weeks. I just think it's so different, but I agree with you. I think that this win will galvanize the team. They can look at it and they can say, you know what? We didn't play at our best level. We didn't execute at the highest of levels, and yet we were still able to win. And that was the one shot. That was the shot that somebody had to get rid of us,
right?
And they failed. And now we can go out there, and if we play our A-plus game, there's no one that could beat us. And, you know, it's funny because people always say it, and it, you know, doesn't always make sense, but the only team that could beat the 49ers is the 49ers. And I think they almost beat themselves in this game, but they were able to get out of their own way and get it done against the Packers and get a big-time win.
Right, right.
Now, a question mark from this, though, is Brock Purdy. Brock Purdy, he's having some problems with that grip when it comes to wet footballs. Luckily, no wet games coming up. We've got a nice clear forecast for the 49ers this weekend, and then it's indoors for the Super Bowl in Las Vegas. But do you have any concerns now? Lots of people pointing out Brock Purdy more inaccurate than they've seen him in that game. Do you think it was the weather? Do you think it was the pressure? What do you think was going on with Brock? And do you think you have any concerns about Brock heading into the NFC Championship game?
As of right now, I have no concerns about Brock going into this game. Number one, like you said, that we're not dealing with no rain this week, you know, and clearly since, you look at the Niners' first loss to Cleveland, it was a wet game, and he struggled with the ball in that game as well. Moving on to the playoffs against Green Bay, I mean, you could clearly see that it was something that he was dealing with mentally. You know, he started the game with a glove. During the game, he took off the glove. There was even the footage where he was, before he threw a pass, you know, he wiped his hand off, you know? So, I mean, you know, he was definitely dealing with the whole wet football. It was in his head. But when the game got rough, you know, and it was the most clutchest moment when we had to have it, you know, he buckled down with a wet football and he made the plays that needed to be played for the Niners to win the game. You know, so going forward, you know, I don't have no problems. I have no problems with Brock Purdy. I feel like he's going to play his best football from here on out. He's played great football all season, you know, so with the wet football, I would be a little cautious. I mean, because we've seen it. The guy struggles. He doesn't have the biggest hands in the world. You know, this was one of the knocks on him coming out of the draft. You know, that people was saying, "Oh, Purdy's hand, he has small hands," and this and that. And it does affect you when you are playing with a wet football. But going forward against the Detroit Lions, I'm glad that we got clear weather. I think he'll ball out and he'll have a much better game than he did last week.
Yeah, the good news is he's got plenty of offseason time to get better at using a slick football, you know, get used to playing with a wet ball. But, yeah, I think I'm with you on this. I don't really have any concerns about Brock Purdy. Brock Purdy was still deciphering information really quickly. He was still finding open receivers, and he made some really clutch throws down the stretch. That throw to Brandon Ayuk may have been one of the best throws he's made this season. Pinpoint accuracy in tight coverage. And that's exactly what you're expecting from your quarterback in that moment. And I'm not going to act like a few inaccurate passes or a bad situation that he struggled in is going to determine how he looks moving forward. I feel full confidence in Brock Purdy, and I still believe he's that guy. And the 49ers need him to be that guy when they play the Detroit Lions in the NFC Championship game. The good news for Brock Purdy, you're going against a defense for the Detroit Lions that gives up nearly 260 yards per game through the air. And then you've got Cam Sutton, who has really struggled during this postseason. He gave up over 180 yards to Puka Nacua. And then last week got torched by Mike Evans as well. This is a secondary that's been reeling. Anytime you're giving up close to 300 yards to Baker Mayfield, you got to think Brock Purdy's going to have some opportunities to get in there and make some things happen. So I kind of like this matchup for the 49ers wide receivers versus the Detroit Lions secondary.
I want Deebo to play so bad because I know the type of game that he could have against this secondary. And plus it's, you know, all the offseason drama between, I think it's what, Charlie Gardner.
CJ Gardner-Johnson. Yeah,
CJ and Deebo, like, this is the buildup, you know. This is so much drama, and, you know, people love watching the drama. We all like the drama. But there was so much said in the offseason. I mean, Deebo talked his smack and Johnson talked his smack, and now they get to meet up in the NFC Championship game. I would love to see them both on the field and just, you know, hash it out on the field like men, you know? So I hope Deebo plays, and I hope he's 100%. I hope he's able to go out there and play up to what we know Deebo could do. Yeah, so
I want that short intermediate pass where Deebo turns up field and the person to tackle is Gardner Johnson. Right, this is the Jalen Ramsey versus Deebo type situation, and it's like, hey, all right, here's where the rubber meets the road, man. Let's see what happens. It's put up or shut up time. You know, Debo's out there, stealing chains. But you know, you bring that up, and this is one of those things I wanted to ask you. Deebo, according to Kyle Shanahan, still in pain, but has improved since earlier this week, and is trending in the right direction. Do you think Debo's going to play?
I think Deebo is going to play. Just reading off the body language, how he looked on the sideline, and then what I read after the game. You know, Deebo thought he could go back in after the game. I don't know what they seen in x-rays or what they seen in the locker room that held him out for the rest of the game. But, I mean, if I'm going based off what Deebo said he felt like he could go back into the game. How he looked on the sideline and his body language, I mean, he looked like somebody that he was fine. You know, he didn't have, like, a sling on or – you know, ice pack on the shoulder or anything like that. Yeah, he was out of gear. He was in street clothes, but just judging his body language and how he looked on the field, I believe that he could have went back in that game if desperately needed. So I think we're going to see Deebo this week. In what capacity, I don't know. I think you don't need Deebo, 100% Deebo, because he's such a good decoy. You know, you could have Deebo going to the left and the whole defense just reads to the left because it's Deebo, you know. Deebo attracts so much attention. I would love for Deebo to be 100%, but anything he could give us where he could be on the field and affect the game in any way or in a unique way that Deebo can, and no other player in the league is that could do it like Deebo, I would love to see him out there helping out his team get to the Super Bowl.
Yeah, I think there were some nerves, you know, from that training staff about Deebo's injury, considering it was the same shoulder he had the injury on earlier this season. And when they did the initial x-rays back then, after the Cleveland game, it came up clear. And then later in the week, it was still bothering him. They did the MRI and they found the hairline fracture. I think they were fearful that happened again. So they waited. On Sunday, he had the MRI. It came back clear, so he has no structural damage to the shoulder, which means it's all pain tolerance. And so I do believe he's going to get out there. I think they're probably going to give him a shot, you know, kind of take away some of that pain. And I think as that swelling continues to go down, as they work with him, icing, physical therapy, everything they need to do, I think as we get closer to Sunday, he's going to feel more comfortable and confident with him going out there. But you're right. Him being used in this offense is important. They average over 2 yards per carry on the ground with Deebo on the field. So he doesn't just help when the ball's in his hands, but when the ball's not in his hands. Correct. So you bringing up him being a decoy is so true. There's a play in this game where Deebo goes in motion and literally 4 or 5 different guys move positions just to flow with him. McCaffrey gets a nice 6-7 yard run on the play. That's the effect of Deebo Samuel. It's just tougher sledding without him. He makes Ayuk better. He makes Kittle better. He makes CMC better. And the 49ers need him out there. I think he's going to play, and unlike you, I think he's going to have an impact on this game. Now, do you think the 49ers could win without Deebo if they had to?
I think they can. We witnessed this last week. You know, I mean, Deebo went down early in the game, and, you know, the Niners had to put something together, you know, and we did, it wasn't in the game plan. You know, Shanahan, you know, you give Shanahan a week, I feel like he can game plan to do anything. You know, I think this week he is going to have 2 game plans. I think he's going to have a Deebo game plan and game plan without Deebo, you know. But you look at what unfolded on, Saturday last week? Yep. On Saturday, Deebo goes out early in the game, and, you know, Shanahan, he got to make plays on his toes, you know. Like, Deebo's out, now what happens, you know? And it was rough, you know, it was a rough going. I mean, I mean, I get my hat off. I take my hat off to Green Bay. Green Bay had a great game plan. You know, I don't know if it was their game plan more or Debo not being on the field, but the way Green Bay's defense played, they played the Niners well. You know, they were making plays. I mean, both teams are trying to win. You know, so if you had to ask me if the Niners could win without Debo, I think they could. I think Shanahan's going to be better prepared this week, you know, going in like with either having Debo or not having Debo, to where he could exploit that defense with or without him.
Yeah, I think some of the Lions' ineffectiveness to stop the run in the playoffs is interesting because during the regular season, they were really good. They held opposing offenses to 88 yards on the ground, which is actually a little bit better than the Niners, but they have been a good defense against the run. But when we get to the playoffs, not so much. The Rams were able to get a run game going. Last week, it was Rashad White averaging over 6.1 yards per carry. Who knows why Tampa Bay only ran the ball 9 times with him.
That's crazy.
I don't understand that. They ended up having, you know, more carries than that for multiple backs, but still it's like he's having that kind of success. Get him the ball. But I wonder how effective that they're going to be stopping the run, because how much attention can they give to the run game and Christian McCaffrey and still be able to help their guys in the back end? You know, that's always one of the concerns of a defense is, hey, can I protect, you know, the back end from these big plays? And Debo's a big reason why. When Debo's out there, you can't put full focus on Brandon Ayuk. You can't put full focus on George Kittle. You've got to worry about Debo, and it opens things up. So I think that that's going to play a big part in this game, is how much attention do they have to give to helping their secondary, and will that allow the 49ers to establish a successful running game of Christian McCaffrey? Because I think, Warren, if they get the run game going, that's really going to get this offense flowing in the way that we know that this offense can go.
I agree. I think if they get the run game going, it's lights out. I think Detroit's going to be in. They're going to be in for a long day. And I mean, if you look at it, like you said, I mean, Kyren Williams and I believe Rashad White, right?
Yeah.
They're not Christian McCaffrey. You know, I mean, you got Christian McCaffrey, the best running back in the league. I mean, you hand off the ball to him. I mean, he's going to cause fits for any defense. You know, so Detroit has their handful. You know, on stopping our run game, especially if Debo is available. I mean, it could come at you in so many different ways. You know. And Shanahan, he exploits it in so many different ways. So I definitely think the Niners are going to be able to run the football, and we know how bad that secondary is. So like you pointed out, if that running game gets going, I mean, it could get ugly pretty quick.
Yeah, it's interesting because when I was looking at the playoffs, I would do the show with, you know, Jay Hill, the Ed Hill Show, and one of the things I said is I wouldn't mind seeing Detroit in the NFC Championship game. I just think the 49ers match up well. Some of the matchups are in favor of the 49ers. It's not that I don't think they're a good team. I just think the, you know, X's and O's.
Do you want a beautiful lawn? Enter True Green, the easiest way to get a great lawn. Just water and mow and they'll do the rest. Weed control, fertilization, aeration, and more. True Green is the official lawn care treatment provider of the PGA Tour, and they have a verified best price, which guarantees you the lowest price with no compromise on quality. You do you. Let True Green do your lawn care. Visit TrueGreen.com, TrueGreen.com, to get the best lawn at the best price with the best people. Guaranteed.
Save big money and start your spring project with help from Menards. We offer a huge selection of body plants, veggies, and herbs to plant at home and grow yourself. Right now, all 4.5-inch body plants are on sale through May 5th. Head to the Menards Garden Center to get your garden growing. And check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for all the great deals happening now.
Save big money at Menards.
Without the ones like you who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
It makes sense for the 49ers. And part of the reason I think that is because I look over at Detroit's offense, and they, you know, they have good, solid players. They have Amon-Ra St. Brown. You know, they've got the new running back group that they're going with it with Jahmyr Gibbs. He's looking pretty good and dynamic. And then they got the young tight end out of Iowa, Sam Laporta. So they have these three-headed monster, this talented team. But there's not that other receiver, right? I mean, they thought it was going to be Jameson Williams. They've brought in other guys like Josh Reynolds. They haven't really been able to find that guy. And that's probably good for the 49ers because we got to talk about your corner from Michigan, Ambry Thomas. Ambry Thomas had a tough week last week against the Green Bay Packers. He had two big pass interference calls. Warren, what is going on with Ambry Thomas? And can Ambry turn this thing around heading into this Detroit game?
Oh, man, it's so frustrating watching Ambry. His days in Michigan, he was the number one corner. You know, he had a nastiness to him, and you know, he was so confident, and he wanted to guard the number one receiver week in and week out. And he was performing on the field. That's why, you know, he got drafted. You know, like, you could see the talent. You know, that was with he got to the Niners, and I mean, he had his struggles. His first year with San Francisco, he had his struggles, but he finished the year definitely strong. You know, and now we get to this point where he is now. It's very difficult to watch, you know. I mean, earlier this year, you know, Wilkes gave him a vote of confidence, and he kind of proved himself. He went out there and he proved himself. You know, he had moments in games where you see him go to the sideline saying, "Like I told you," you know, taking the game ball, and that's what you love to see. I mean, as a Niner fan and as a Michigan fan, like, you're excited to see. It's like you're kind of watching the kid come into his own. You know, now we're here in the playoffs, and it's just, teams are going to target him, you know, because you cannot turn on the tape and not see the biggest weakness on this defense. You know, it's not Ward, you know, it's not Demo. You know, if you're going to attack this secondary, you're going to attack number 20, you know, because he struggles in moments when the ball's in the air, he panics. You know, as last week, we see it with the pass interference, he was in good position. The ball's in the air, he just panicked. You know, if he just relaxes, you know, trusts his skills, you know, trusts his coaching, he's there to make the plays. You know, it's just, he gets, I don't know what it is. He just gets so excited. He gets so scared. He gets so nervous in the moment. He ends up turning something that could be good into something bad. So I want to see him. I hope he does well this week, but if I'm Detroit, that's where I'm starting at.
Yeah. I think you got a point. You know, I mean, I think you do. Look at him and see an opportunity to be able to attack. The question marks is going to be, how much can the 49ers protect him? And you're entirely right. It seemed like he had great position. He was in the perfect spot to stop the play with Bo Melton deep down the field, and he just panicked. The truth is, there was no way that ball was going to be caught, and he was right there in the hip pocket. He's 6'1". He has the space to be able to knock that ball away. It was a bad play, and that's not relying on what he's been taught. I think the thing that makes me the most nervous is we had seen him during the year make so much progression. He was really understanding what Steve Wilkes wanted. He was starting to read through the wide receiver to the quarterback. He was driving on footballs better than I've ever seen him before, a la that interception that he got on the sideline. And it just looked like, oh man, here comes Ambry Thomas. Like, if Ambry can play like this, we are going to be lights out in the secondary. And then you saw the performance like we saw this week. And that made me really, really concerned about this. Now, I do believe the 49ers have a way to protect themselves. The way I brought up how good Amon-Ra St. Brown is, but maybe the rest of the wide receiver room is not as talented, could mean we get him some decent matchups that work for Ambry Thomas. Because I wouldn't be surprised to see, when we're in nickel package, for Charvarius Ward to travel wherever Amon-Ra St. Brown goes. Wherever he goes, that's Charvarius Ward goes. I don't mind Demo in the slot against St. Brown. I think that's a fine matchup as well. But we've got to make sure we protect Ambry when he's out on the field, because you just can't allow him to consistently get beat or to allow catches underneath that are easy, convertible plays. He's just got to play a little bit tighter. He's got to play a little bit better, and he cannot fall for that double move. The double moves are killing him. That's why he had the first pass interference call. If he wouldn't have grabbed Romeo Dobbs would have been cruising in the end zone for a touchdown.
Yeah, if I'm Steve Wilkes, I mean, you have to give him safety help all game. I mean, if you line him up against Jameson Williams that has world-class speed, I mean, it could get bad real quick. You know, Jameson Williams could get on top of you in a hurry. And the way Ambry's playing, you can't trust him to be an island. You know, these games are too big to be lost, you know, at this point in the season where you're just having somebody not, they're not playing to the caliber of what you need them to play, of a Western Conference championship team, you know, not a Western,
you went full NBA.
Yeah. NFC championship conference team. Yeah. So, I mean, if I'm Wilkes, I'm definitely helping him out, you know, keep everything in front of him, which, I mean, he usually does. I mean, he plays so far off, you know, and teams eat him up on underneath. He has to, if that's how he's going to play, he has to rally up and make every tackle. You know, he can't miss no tackles. He has to be disciplined in his tackling. But all game, if I'm Steve Wilkes, I'm putting somebody over top of him.
Yeah. And who's going to be over the top of him, right? Because they're going to have some safeties that are going to have to worry about Sam Laporta. The 49ers are actually really good against tight ends this year. They are fourth best in the league as far as completion percentage by tight ends. That's really good. But you've had a few changes throughout the season. First, it was Talanoa Hufanga. You know, then it was Jair Brown. Now it's Logan Ryan. Does it stay Logan Ryan? I think this is one of those interesting questions because I think we saw a mixed bag from Logan Ryan last week. Good in coverage, not as good against the run. But we've seen Jair be the inverse. Good against the run, not as good in pass coverage. Warren, where do they go? Do they go with the veteran Logan Ryan, or are they going to go back to the young rookie in Jair Brown and live with some risk in the pass game, but then go ahead and attack in the run game?
I'd lean towards Jair Brown. Just the way Logan Ryan during run fits was just, it was bad. You know, some of the angles he was taking was just, it was just, you can't have that. You know, I mean, you just can't have it. Aaron Jones was, he was having a career day against us, you know, and this is the thing, like the Niners, we always stopped the run. You know, I think it was what was like 51 games without giving up 100 yard rusher.
Yep.
And the way Aaron Jones did it on this, like honestly, it looked easy, you know. And it sucks that we don't have Talanoa Hufanga because this is what he was good at. I mean, he was good in coverage and he was good in the box, you know, and he's an awesome blitzer as well. Jair Brown, the reason why I want him on the field is I think we need to go through these lumps with him. You know, yeah, this is the wrong time of year to go through the lumps with Jair Brown, but he'll eventually start to get it. He'll eventually start to click. He'll eventually start blossoming into the player that we want, the safety that we want. But he's so much better also in defending the run. You know, and this team that we're going up against in Detroit, I mean, you have two awesome backs that had great years. You have Jahmyr Gibbs, and then you have Montgomery. You know, and they could hurt you. This team's going to come into Santa Clara. They're going to want to run the ball down our throat. You know, so we're going to have to focus on the run. So if I had to pick out of them, I would go with Jair Brown.
Yeah, it all depends on what style and what you're trying to take away. If you're trying to limit the effectiveness of Montgomery and Gibbs, Jair Brown is the guy because he is better in run fits, and he comes up and he absolutely lays the wood. I think that I would feel more confident in him in those areas. But if you're worried about Sam Laporta, it might be nice to have a Logan Ryan who has cornerback skills. I mean, he's not as good as he used to be. He's definitely not as fast. I think where he struggles the most is on run fits where he's coming from a safety position. When he's playing in the box, he does pretty good. Against the Rams, he did really well in that area. So I think this is one of those ones that's going to play out depending on what they look at, and maybe we're going to see both. I think we might actually see both of them in this game, where we see Jair in obvious run sets, maybe when you see two tight ends on the field, potentially you go that way, or when, you know, it's different, they're spread out, maybe it's Logan Ryan. I think there could be a mixture, but whatever they need to do, the 49ers need to make sure that they can stop the run all the while not allowing explosive plays down the field. We can't have two liabilities in the secondary that you have to take care of. I mean, we've seen this before where DeMeco Ryans had to put a young cornerback and a young safety on the same side. Back then it was Ambry Thomas and Talanoa Hufanga. Now it's Ambry Thomas and potentially Jair Brown. So it's an interesting problem for the 49ers, but I think that this matchup could still work out. I won't be shocked if Jair Brown starts, but all the while I wouldn't be shocked if Steve Wilkes just feels more comfortable with Logan Ryan. I think it's interesting. Probably won't know until we get either listen to Steve Wilkes talk or probably closer to game days when they'll make a decision.
Yeah, I think what you say is spot on. I mean, you might want to go in the game and give it a mace, you know, play both, play Jair and play Logan Ryan and see how the game is flowing, see how the game flow is going, who's in the zone, who's playing well, and then make the decision then. You know, if Jair Brown's going out there and, you know, he's playing both, playing well in coverage and coming up in run support, let's keep him out there. Let's see. Let's have him finish the game. Or same with Logan Brown. You know, if he's going out there and, you know, he's playing well in pass coverage and he's helping in run support, let him finish the game. So I think it might be something that's decided through fire.
Yeah, it could be. And one thing that could be interesting is also blitzing. I think Jair Brown's a way better blitzer, and they're probably going to come after Jared Goff some in this game with Goff's struggles against the blitz. So I would like to see Jair in those situations be able to get there, because I don't think Logan Ryan's as good a blitzer. So that could be interesting to see as well. Now let's talk about, since we're talking about a little bit right here with the blitzing, let's talk about pass rusher on the other side, Aiden Hutchinson. And Aiden Hutchinson is going to be going against Colt McKivitz. If I had to tell you there was one matchup that scares the living daylights out of me, it's Aiden Hutchinson against Colt McKivitz, with McKivitz giving up 10 sacks this season. That's basically one third of the sacks against the 49ers are on Colt McKivitz. You have watched Aiden Hutchinson for years. Does this matchup scare you as much as it does me?
It scares the heck out of me. Aiden's no joke. He's only been in the league, 2 years, and he's established himself as one of the best in the league already. I believe I seen a stat where they said over the last 4 to 5 games, he has like 8 sacks. The dude's unreal. He's unreal. And this is the one guy, I believe, on Detroit's defense and on one of their teams that you can't let him get going, because he's their heart and soul. You know, once he gets going and, you know, he's getting sacks, he's making plays, and he's causing havoc, the rest of the team follows. You know, he's like their emotional leader. So if you're the Niners, you're going to have to do everything to take him out of the game. You know, you're going to have to do everything that everybody does to Bosa, do to him, chip him, double team him. You can't let Aiden Hutchinson beat you in this game, you know, because this is what he does. I mean, at Michigan, he's the one that set the culture, the foundation for where the program is now. I mean, the guy is just unreal. And what he's done at Detroit, you know, he's set the foundation there. So they're one game away from the Super Bowl. You can't let this guy beat you in this big of a game. So I hope the Niners plan to help out McKivitz, because this guy is a total game wrecker.
Yeah, I mean, he's a complete pass rusher, and he's got an absolute motor that just doesn't stop. He's got a full complement of pass rush moves. He's good at setting the edge against the run. This is one of those top flight defensive ends in the league that Colt McKivitz is going to have to face. And it's been a mixed bag when he goes against a really good and talented pass rusher. It's never good. I mean, look at what we saw with TJ Watt in week 1. He went off against Colt McKivitz. I don't know if Aiden is as good as TJ Watt as far as bending the corner and getting home, but he's got that kind of motor. He's got that kind of ability, and he might be that guy at some point. I think the 49ers absolutely have to help. They have to chip. They're going to have to make sure they send either a running back or a tight end, an extra lineman. They're going to have to consistently know where number 97 is, and they're going to have to consistently make sure they give help to Colt McKivitz. The scary thing is, last week, the 49ers gave help to Colt McKivitz at times against Rashawn Gary, and it still didn't work. He would still get beat on plays he got help. And it's like, that kind of thing just makes me really nervous. The 49ers are going to have to address this in the draft next year, but you're in a situation where the San Francisco 49ers are who they are. They got the players they got, and I'm worried about this matchup with Hutchinson, because boy, is he good, and he's looked good recently. He could be a game wrecker, just like you said.
He can be, and what makes me feel a little bit better about this game is Kyle Shanahan. And if there's one thing Kyle Shanahan can do, is Kyle Shanahan can take a pass rusher out of the game with just his the way he calls a game and his play calling. You know, he could use Aiden Hutchinson's aggressiveness against him. So I plan on Shanahan, you know, not only helping him, you know, with, like you said, with the tight end out there or running back chipping on that side, but with the play calling as well. You know, have some plays going like screens and stuff. Get his aggression going against him while the ball's going over his head or around him. So I expect Shanahan to fully help out in that department as well.
Yeah, and I think the good news is you got Trent Williams on the other side going against Kaminsky. That's going to be a win for the 49ers. So they do have guys in the interior part of this defensive line that are good. I like Aleem McNeil a lot. He's a guy I broke down for a while, and he's going to be a huge test for John Feliciano and for Aaron Banks if they move him around. I think they've got opportunities there, but I think that when it comes to it, they're just not as talented as some of the defensive lines the 49ers have seen. And so I hope the 49ers can give a lot of help on Hutchinson and make sure they have opportunities for Brock Purdy to get the ball down the field. But like you said, Kyle Shanahan will scheme it up to use his aggressiveness against him, to use his skill set against him. And he likes to use an inside spin move. Sometimes that's really great, especially if you have one-on-one. But if you use an inside spin move, Brock Purdy's the kind of guy that can extend a play by getting outside the pocket. And if he does, he could be lethal down the field like he was against George Kittle. I saw a stat that he has as many touchdowns now outside the pocket while scrambling as Josh Allen and Russell Wilson. So
that's crazy.
Brock Purdy's been getting it done. He's been sneakily getting some things done down the field, and he's going to have to be able to handle this Detroit pass rush. It's pretty good.
Yeah, I agree.
So let's talk about the key player for the Lions that the 49ers need to stop. So we've talked about their weapons. They've got guys all over the place on offense, and the 49ers are going to have to stop them. Which matchup is it that you think 49ers just need to make sure they stop this guy, and it's going to really help their chances to slow down the Detroit offense?
There's a multiple guys that, I mean, you need to focus on. Like I said, in the running game, you got Gibbs and you got Montgomery. Just basing off how the game went last week, I mean, I feel like the Niners really need to focus on stopping the run. You know, it's almost when you watch your team get beat on the run, it's like taking your manhood. You know what I mean? It's like you got to stand up and you got to stop the run. You can't let these teams run it down your throat like that. But to me, if there's one player I feel like the Niners really got to focus on stopping, I believe it's Sam Laporta. He reminds me so much of TJ Hockenson. You know, when they got rid of TJ Hockenson, I thought it was a terrible decision. Cause I mean, we all know how good TJ Hockenson is. Look how good he is in Minnesota. But when this kid, Sam Laporta, came on the scene and he had a big game early in the season, it's one game. And then he consistently started putting it together week after week after week. You're just like, okay, they may have something in this kid, you know, and you start watching him play and you're just like, he's a real threat, you know, and he's somebody that Goff is comfortable with, you know, Goff leans on, you know. So if we put too much attention on the running game or Amon-Ra, you know, Sam Laporta, he could beat us. You know, Jared Goff has no problem sitting back there and throwing it 10, 12 times to Sam Laporta, him catching 8 passes, having 140 yards and a touchdown, 2 touchdowns. He's fully capable of those type of games. And that's something that could be a game breaker, something that we don't see coming into the game. He's a big enough name now where I think the Niners are not going to ignore him. They're going to be fully aware of where he's at on the field and who's going to be matched up on him. But that's somebody I feel like the Niners need to pay close attention to, because Sam Laporta, he could be a game breaker out of nowhere.
Yeah, I think that there's a three-headed monster that we've, you know, kind of brought up. And I think Laporta's a big element to what they do on offense. The ability of Jared Goff to feel comfortable, to get it to his check down, get it to Sam Laporta, his kind of like comfort blanket. And Laporta's been very dynamic with the ball in his hands. And he had that knee injury, yet it didn't seem like he really missed a beat. Now, I don't think he's running as good a route. I don't think he's got the explosiveness that he had earlier in the year before the injury. But it's a guy that, yes, the 49ers need to make sure they pay attention to. The fact that they've been so good against tight ends this year is great, because they're going to have to play a good game against him this week. The good news for the 49ers, they have really good linebackers.
Right.
And they have Tashaun Gibson, who has been an absolute neutralizer for tight ends. That's why it could be so important on who the other safety is, because Tashaun Gibson's probably going to have to put a lot of focus on helping stop Sam Laporta, while the rest of the linebackers and the other safety have to worry about stopping Jahmyr Gibbs, stopping the run game, and potentially at times giving help to Ambry Thomas. You start getting pulled in every which way. I think the 49ers, though, are going to try to take away St. Brown. They're going to try to stop that run game. They're going to try to limit the effectiveness of Laporta and put the onus on the other wide receivers to get it done. And if those guys can get it done, you tip your cap and you say, hey, great job. And if they can't, you have the opportunity to go ahead and win the game.
I agree. There's one thing the Niners really need to focus on as well, is like we mentioned earlier, is the running game, but also Dan Campbell. Dan Campbell is like one of the most aggressive coaches in the league. There's going to be times in the game where he's going to go for it on fourth down. You know, he's very aggressive on fourth down, or the Niners got to be aware on punt coverage, you know, kickoff. He may start off the game with an onside kick. You know, Dan Campbell plays, you know, with nothing to lose. And that's what's so scary about this Detroit team. It's not so much, you know, oh, they have Goff, they have Amon-Ra, they have Gibbs, they have whoever. It's Dan Campbell. You know, Dan Campbell is a great coach. You know, I got to give it to him. You know, what he's done in Detroit.
Do you want a beautiful lawn? Enter True Green, the easiest way to get a great lawn. Just water and mow and they'll do the rest. Weed control, fertilization, aeration, and more. True Green is the official lawn care treatment provider of the PGA Tour. And they have a verified best price, which guarantees you the lowest price with no compromise on quality. You do you. Let True Green do your lawn care. Visit TrueGreen.com, TrueGreen.com to get the best lawn at the best price with the best people. Guaranteed.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Hats off. You know, you got it. You got to give him credit for what he's done there, how bad that organization has been. You know, he really built it there. He built it from the ground up the right way. And how he coaches is he coaches to win each and every game, each and every down, each and every snap. And in, especially in a game like this, where you know he wants to win, he's going to throw everything at us. He's going to throw the whole book at us. So the Niners just have to be on their toes on every snap, every aspect, because you know what, you don't know what Dan Campbell's going to bring at us. I could see him having some trick plays drawn up for us, maybe going for two and a couple of touchdowns, just random stuff. You know, it's we're going to have to be on our toes because Dan Campbell is going to bring it from a coaching aspect.
Yeah, I think that's a good point. You know, and Campbell is a gunslinger. He just lets it all fly. He just doesn't care. And you know who else used to be like this with a young team that created a lot of buzz in the league was Ron Rivera. Ron Rivera used to create a lot of buzz because it was Riverboat Ron. He would take chances and he would go make things happen. And that stuff is awesome. Like when you do that and you're aggressive and you're consistently aggressive, your team gets an aggressive mindset. My thing about it is, as a coach, as somebody that's coached, is I love when teams are like that because you know what? When you fail at those things, I'm going to take advantage of it. Now, I was a highly aggressive coach as well. I just think that the 49ers are going to be prepared. They're going to run punt safe every single time it's a punt. They're going to leave their first team defense out there. They are just going to make sure every single thing that happens in this game is controlled by them. And you're right that he is that kind of guy. You can prepare for that. I think the thing you can't prepare is when you get those guys that are conservative the whole time and then all of a sudden they hit you with something out of nowhere.
Right.
And you're like, where the heck did that come
from? That's true.
So I do think the 49ers are going to be prepared for him, but I like that attitude and his aggressiveness. And you're right. He's probably going to go for two sometimes. He's probably going to go for it on fourth down when it doesn't make a lot of sense. He's probably going to take some chances. And that's what's going to add some intrigue to this game. And let's see if Kyle Shanahan, Steve Wilks, you know, and Brian Schneider up to the task of making sure they have their team prepared and ready for everything he throws their way. You can also lose games that way. So it's interesting. I think this game is going to be fascinating in that category because you're right. He is highly, highly aggressive.
He is. It's something to watch. During this game is definitely going to be something I keep an eye on.
Oh, yeah. And they're going to show him a lot. Just get ready for it. The camera pans to him a ton during the game. And he's got that interesting look to him.
He does.
He's something different, man. I like that guy.
I do, too.
We talked about, you know, biting kneecaps and all that stuff. It's like, yeah, this guy's going to be fun.
Right.
Let's talk about the other side of the ball. The 49ers going against that Lions defense. You know, what do you think the biggest advantage is for the 49ers on offense?
As usual, man. I mean, we can start anywhere, you know, with this Niners offense, you know, with the plethora of weapons we have. At this point in the season, though, I think you keep it meat and potatoes. You know, it's you got the best player on the field. It's CMC. You know, it's do or die now. It's like, what are you holding them for? You know what I mean? Like, what are you saving his carries for? It's unleash the beast. You know, it's win or go home. So it's give CMC the ball and just let him take it. You know, I mean, these guys, when you just look at the game and the players on the field and what it comes down to, it's these guys is hungry. You know, it's Trent Williams never won a Super Bowl. He's never won a Super Bowl. Debo, Ayuk, a lot of these guys, Kittle, they've never won a Super Bowl. You know, they've been in these NFC Championship games. They've been in the Super Bowl and they've came up short. Like, these guys is hungry, you know, and it's let them go eat. You know what I mean? Like, give CMC the ball and just let him destroy the Detroit Lions, you know? So that's how I feel about it. You know, I feel where our biggest weapon is we got the best player and you got to figure it out. You know, so if I'm Shanahan, you know, I'm giving Christian McCaffrey for these next two games, I'm giving him the ball in any fashion I could give it to him. You know, screens, I'm lining him at receiver, I'm putting him any way I can and just deal with it.
Yeah, I mean, Christian McCaffrey affords you a lot of opportunity. And with 2 weeks being off before the Super Bowl, there's not going to be any restrictions on how many touches any of these players get, because if you don't win this game, it doesn't matter. You right. have to win this football game. They're going to go out there looking to execute, and Christian McCaffrey is going to be a big reason why. And if they can get a run game going with McCaffrey, and then they can find him in the passing game with the matchups that he's going to have success with against these linebackers, he's going to be pivotal. And then all of a sudden, you're paying too much attention to him, and you forget about somebody else. And if Debo's out there, that means here comes Debo. Here comes Ayuk. Here comes Kittle. The weapons are going to be there. If the 49ers can keep Brock Purdy upright and healthy and comfortable, it's going to be big. And that's why getting McCaffrey going in the run game is even bigger. You get McCaffrey going, you get these offensive linemen, you know, chewing up yards in the run game, and that will kind of limit the effectiveness of guys like Aiden Hutchinson. Can't rush the passer if the running back's running the ball down your throat. So they want to limit the effectiveness of the 49ers offense early. They want to get it into third and long where they can get after Brock Purdy. But if Christian McCaffrey and this offense get it going both in the run game and with the passing game, that's going to put a lot of pressure on Aiden Hutchinson and this defense to perform on some tough situations. Third and shorts are not good against the 49ers. They are an elite offense on third down. They convert at a 48%.
Right. I mean, it's no mercy. You know, I mean, the frustration we all had last year, you know, Brock Purdy gets hurt in the NFC Championship game and we couldn't even see the game plan Shanahan had for this. You know, like, we couldn't see what they were going to unleash on Philly until this year. And when they got on the field with Philly, they completely wiped the field with them. And Philly was never the same after that game. You know, like, take that energy, you know, and just unleash it on Detroit. You know, I mean, when this team is motivated, we've seen it. You know, the way they looked against the Dallas Cowboys, you know, Kittle lifts up his shirt, you know, F the Cowboys. Like, that was a motivated Niner team, and it was just no holds bars. You know, look at how motivated they were when they went to Philly. Players showed up in all black. You know, Debo goes crazy against that team, you know, and completely breaks their spirit. Like, this is the Niner team, you know, I want to see for these next two games. You know, come show up in all black and just show the NFL that this is a dynasty, and none of these teams can be on the field with us, because we have the talent to be a dynasty. We have the talent to win a few more of these Super Bowls or to get there. You know, let's go out, put it all together, win the game, and show the world what the Niners really look like, what the team really should look like week in and week out.
Yeah, I think they're going to be highly motivated. The national media is doing the 49ers a favor by consistently talking down on them. All the rest of the fan bases apparently are rooting against the 49ers. And the 49ers are going to sit there and be like, all right, yeah, us versus everybody. I like that mentality. I don't know how much the 49ers have felt that this year, but I think they feel it now. And when your back's against the wall, you come out swinging. Yes. And I think that's what the 49ers are going to do in this game. They don't like the questions that people have been asking, where they've been questioning Kyle Shanahan. They don't like the criticisms that Brock Purdy's been getting. They don't like the fact that people are not giving them the respect that they deserve. And I think they're going to go out there and try to earn it. And it's not like Detroit has disrespected the 49ers or that Detroit has done anything wrong. Their problem is they're in the way of the 49ers getting their ultimate goal of winning a Super Bowl. And when people get in the way, you have choices. You can go around them or you can go through them. Right. And I think the 49ers plan to go through them in this game. And I think you're going to see a highly motivated team that's looking to execute and fire on all cylinders. And I hope we get a game that looks more eerily similar to 2019 against Green Bay Packers, where the 49ers just imposed their will in the run game and just ran right over the top of them. I think the 49ers have that potential. I'm not saying it's going to be a blowout win for the 49ers, but there are opportunities for that to happen. There were some near misses against Green Bay that could have flipped that game completely on its head. That's how all games are, right? Near misses. So, Warren, this game's coming up Sunday, 3:30 kickoff. Who you got, 49ers versus Detroit Lions?
I got the Niners definitely playing better than what they played last week. I have them putting it all together. We're not going to be as frustrated as we was last week. Hopefully I'm not on the ground, walking around the corner, you know, pulling my hair out. Honestly, I think this team, like I said, that what we got last week, this team needed it. You know, this they felt it that we're in the playoffs now, and this is like, here we go. So, and I think it just bodes well for Detroit, you know. I mean, it bodes bad for Detroit.
Yeah.
I think the Niners take care of business, though. I think the Niners is going to put it on Detroit. I say Niners, I have Niners 42-21. Yeah, I'm putting it on Detroit.
I like that. That's a big win for the 49ers, and I absolutely love it. Of course, you want my score prediction is going to happen on the game preview show. That'll be coming up later this week. And, yeah, this is going to be – game's going to be intense. It's going to be fantastic. The pressure is on now, and there's going to be pressure in this game to win. There's going to be pressure on the quarterbacks to perform. And there's going to be some defensive linemen trying to create pressure. This is the exact time you want to be playing football in the NFL. We'd like to thank you guys all for joining us for this episode. Warren, thank you so much. It was a great conversation. I enjoyed this episode. It's one of my favorites that I've done the entire year. So thank you for coming on and talking 49ers football.
No doubt.
Yeah, we'll have to get another one. We'll have to get some more celebrations going, later on next week. Niners win. We're going to have to talk some Super Bowl. But we'd like to thank you guys all for coming through. Checking it out, like and subscribe to the channel if you haven't already on that push for 5K. And this episode was brought to you by Bet Online, where the game starts. We will catch you guys all on the next one. Until then, stay safe. And remember, the right way is always the
Niners.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.